Hi everyone, my name is Adam Small.
And I'm Jake Moses.
Welcome to our podcast, A Performer's Pathway.
A podcast adventure to help guide and navigate your musical life and career.
As a prelude to every episode, we'd like to remind our listeners that this podcast is about the other side of the musical coin. One side, which you see a lot at our website, mymusicmasterclass.com, is what to do in the practice room. And the other side is how to maximize your talent and skills in the real world, and that's what this podcast is about. Also, if you have a few extra seconds to spare,
which is technically only 3 beats at 60 BPM,
please subscribe to our show on your podcast app of choice and rate us 5 stars. You can leave a comment about absolutely anything, too. That small act of kindness will really help us expand our audience and continue to create new episodes.
And lastly, word of mouth is always super helpful. So if you like what you hear, please tell the world.
Before we get started here, I want to mention our monthly guidebook slash workbook called The Motivated Musician. It's geared towards serious musicians and it offers challenges, exercises, professional advice, and more to help keep your musical life and career on track. Also, as an extra perk, members get exclusive discounts from My Music Masterclass, and if you want to learn more, go to mymusicmasterclass.com, hit subscribe in the header menu, and you'll be good to go.
That being said, let's trek further down the path of...
Number nonsense.
Right. Number nonsense.
It's crazy. But yeah, before we even get into this, like, let's just say that Jake and I are doing this on New Year's Day, and it's morning, and it just shows how old we are because we're not severely hungover. So let's get into this. As humans, we're hung up on numbers, right? 2021, it's just a year, and it's really only representative of the Christian calendar.
I bet everyone's already disappointed right now that everything hasn't magically been fixed.
Well, listen, 2021 is not only a year, but it's the Christian calendar year, right? It's probably 5780, I think, in the Jewish calendar, and there's other calendars, and it's just a year, right? It doesn't matter. And age really is just a number too in some ways. I mean, of course, when you get older, you feel it in different ways, but yeah. Look, like Mike Tyson just boxed Roy Jones and he's 54 and he looked pretty damn fierce, you know? Also, some 20-year-olds just feel like shit. Like, we've known plenty of people through the years that are just like, you know, I worked hard to
feel like shit when I was in my 20s. Like, I would have to work really hard. Yeah. I did it, but like, it took a lot. Took a lot of bad shit.
Yeah, I mean, you do get older and things start to fail. And I know that because, you know, I'm getting older too. But in general, it's really a mindset and how you treat your body. And you can feel there are 50-year-olds that feel better than 20-year-olds. And you can do that, you know. Anyway, that's not even the point of this. It's just that I'm trying to make a point about numbers and when they're important and when they're just a number. As musicians, we often get obsessed with certain numbers and attach them with success. Like, for instance, I've heard a lot of people say, and maybe I even said it, you know, like, at 30, I better be successful as a musician, or I want to have this at this time, or a house at this age.
Or, I remember when that came and went.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Oh, shit.
But didn't you remember when you were a kid and you were, or even a teenager, and you're like,
I was supposed to leave LA at 30 if I didn't fucking like make at least some sort of big leap. Yeah. That just didn't
happen, right?
I'm still here.
Right. But my point is, it's just a number, right? Like, but you attached this thing. There was a goal to a number. Or some people say, I need to have this number of tunes together before I can go to an open jam, right? Or
yeah.
I need to get this technique up to a certain BPM when I'm practicing. I mean, all this can be important too, but you can't let these numbers, these goal numbers, stop you from getting experience and playing out. Like, you can't just sit in your room and attach these numbers to yourself and say, I will not, you know, I'm going to arrive on the scene once I can do this and this and this, because you'll never get there. Do you know what I mean? You know that, Jake.
Like,
at a certain point, you just gotta go out. I remember...
I mean, it's a combination of both, always.
I remember when I was 17 years old, and I was studying with this bass player in New Jersey, this guy, Andrew Harkin, and he was a New Yorker. A really, really good bass player. and it was right before I went to Manhattan School of Music, and he had gone there, and, you know, he was a very, you know, good all-around bass player, great at jazz, great at everything. So he would come in to New Jersey for one day a week to teach a few students that were serious and also do this open jam, this jazz gig, basically a jazz open jam thing.
They have music in New Jersey?
No, not anymore. No. So basically I would do this lesson with him, which was intense. And then he'd make me come to this open jam, even though I was scared shitless. And all the players that were playing, it wasn't really an open jam. It was, I mean, not a lot of people sat in, you know, it was really just me that would sit in. And these guys were like 20 years older than me. You know what I mean? Like 15 to 20 years older than me. And they were good. They were seasoned, you know, they were totally like seasoned players. And I would sit in, and every time I'd say, I don't want to really sit in. And he would say, literally, he'd say, if I'm going to step on my dick up here, you're going to step on your dick too.
Jesus.
Yeah. So he'd make me, you know, I mean, it was tough love, right? But he made me get the experience. And yeah, I had to learn on the gig. Like, I learned a lot of things, and I probably sounded like shit sometimes. They were always super nice and complimentary to me because I was a kid. But that's kind of, it made me come out of that experience thinking like, yeah, I wasn't ready for that. Like, I would have preferred to have practiced a lot more before entering that situation. At the same time, he was showing me that, like, there's never a right time. You know what I mean? You have to just get on stage and do what you're capable of, and then you can practice.
Yeah. That's why it has to be like a combination of both. You have to fucking actually want to do it. So you have to go play and fail and succeed, and then you go home and work on shit. Otherwise, you're just working on shit and you don't even know why the fuck you're doing it.
Right. But you know people like that, that attach numbers to things. They're like, I have to know, you know, once I know these 30 songs, like, I can go to the open jam. Or, and like I said, all that's valid in different ways. Like, yeah, you should learn more tunes.
Yeah, but it shouldn't stop you.
It shouldn't stop you from going.
If it goes beyond like months and months and months.
Exactly.
And
like,
then you're fucked up.
Right. Like, I'm all for preparing. So you should actually go to the open jam first if you are nervous, and go a couple nights and record the whole thing and then listen to it, and or at least jot down what tunes on your phone are being played. It's nice to record it, though, because you can hear how people are using certain substitutions, or if they're doing intros and outros that are common, or what keys people are playing things in. Like, that's always really helpful. And then you can make a list of things that get called a lot, and then you'll be prepared when you go back. But again, this isn't like, it shouldn't
take,
don't
obsess over it.
Yeah, it shouldn't take a year, you know what I mean? You can, and this is what people do, they obsess about these numbers.
Well, because it's also like, if you do all that work and you obsess over it, then you're going to be really fucking disappointed when you get up there and you don't sound like you do in your headphones.
Right.
You're going to end up fucking hating what you play. So it's just like, just go fucking do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can work up, like, oh, I'm going to throw this lick in this song when they play it, and they're going to be so impressed. And when you get up there, you're like, oh, it doesn't sound the way I thought it would sound. My amp's weird. I feel weird. Like, the neck is oily. I don't know what the fuck's going on. You know, it's and then you just get so mad because it's not what you expected.
Yeah. And to be honest, every live playing situation that's worth its salt is going to throw a wrench into whatever plan you have. Like, if you worked on all the things you are, like, someone's going to call it in a different key, or in the, or in 5/4, or it's going to be faster than you expected. Or
it'll just never work out.
Yeah, yeah, whatever
you think it does in your head.
So
the more you're sitting at home thinking about it, the less that is going to be like that.
Right. So instead of getting completely neurotic and nervous and panicking over what we're saying, I mean, the goal is just to prepare yourself in the practice room and practice what you can to be prepared for these situations, and then go out and try to use your ears and have some fun and not think completely mathematically with numbers on the bandstand. I mean, some things are important with numbers, of course. And we've talked about them on the podcast ad nauseum. Is ad nauseum right? Yeah.
I don't know what the hell. It's just a fun word.
Yeah. Anyway. Let me say,
was it the last, was that the last Brad Pitt movie? No, that was Ad Astra.
It's like when you see those ads you can't get rid of on Sling TV or on Hulu.
Sling.
Yeah. Or on Hulu or something like that. You're watching Hulu. You're like, this is an ad nauseum. Ugh. You know?
Good anyway. Old ad nauseum.
Yeah. Anyway.
He was the fourth Beastie Boy.
Oh, man. That's my nickname. Ad nauseum.
I shouldn't say that, actually, because fucking the DJ was the fourth Beastie Boys.
Oh, that's true. I mean, math is super important. And we talk about it all the time here, but it doesn't mean everything. It's not, it doesn't apply to every subject. For instance, in baseball, which I watch a lot, and this year was nuts, obviously, but they manage more by stats and analytics now than they used to. They used to just, if they saw a pitcher didn't have it, you know, they'd
thanks
be
to Brad Pitt and fucking, what's his name?
Exactly. Moneyball, motherfuckers. And yeah, anyway, but it's all about the analytics. Like, it's not like, oh, my lefty pitcher looks like he's tiring. And maybe I feel like the other guy has looked good his last game. Maybe we'll put him in. They still do that.
Babe Ruth just smoked his 37th cigar of the day. Maybe he should sit the fuck down.
12 hot dogs. Yeah. But you had to use your gut, you know? And a lot of times when they do analytical moves in baseball, it doesn't work out. Like, they see, they're like, well, the stats against this batter are better, like, than this guy, even though this guy's just struck out three people. I'm going to take him out because the stats against this next guy, you know. And sometimes they'll bring in a new pitcher and the dude will hit a home run off of him. And it's like, oh, well.
It would work if it was like 100 years. You know what I mean? But you know what I mean? Like, that's like mathematics like that is like long form.
Well, you're also like dealing with
game to game. You can't fucking. That's just not going to work.
Well, you're dealing with people, and people aren't completely mathematical. You know, we have emotions. People have good and bad days. It's not a perfect science.
I mean, that's why, like, they say the economy is always failing, is because if you go into, like, the real internal business languages, people are not in the fucking equations. We're not a variable. Like, we don't fucking matter. It's all numbers and numbers and numbers. There was some interview I saw like years ago. Some guy was talking about that shit, and I was like, "Oh my god, that's so horrible that like capitalism doesn't even account for humans."
Well, humans are unpredictable. I mean, they in a way we're not. In a way, you know, of the way ads treat us, they know that we're gonna. Most people will click on certain things, and we subscribe to certain things, and we like and dislike certain things. But you know, within factions, of course, but. We are unpredictable, and sports are a little unpredictable too. I mean, betting on sports is a real gamble. It's hard to know who's going to win unless you have like a fix in, you know, when Mike Tyson lost to Buster Douglas, no one thought that was going to happen. I'm sure that people lost lots of money. You know, betting on baseball is nuts. I mean, betting on football is nuts. This is all in my eyes. I'm sure there's a lot of people that bet on sports and they're going to say, fuck you guys, you know. You're saying that I shouldn't bet on sports? No, you should totally do what you want to do.
No, but give us your money instead.
Exactly. no, but it's hard, and you know it. Everyone that's bet on sports is like lost to an underdog team or had their team lose in a weird way. You never know what's going to happen. You can have a starting pitcher that's your ace, and he's going against a really shitty team, and then he gets a hamstring injury in the first inning, and then they bring in long relief, and you get shelled. Or the pitcher just has a terrible day, and like Garrett Cole gives up 9 home runs or something, you know? It's happened to everyone, and that's why betting on sports is difficult.
Because the fucking pitcher lost a bet that Tyson was going to win.
Exactly.
Exactly. He had a shitty day the next day.
But anyway... So we did this podcast with Ray Levere a while back, and he's a good friend and a great drummer, and you should definitely check that episode out because it's super inspirational and just great. So he was very, very badly burned when he was a kid, and the odds of him surviving this and coming out doing anything normal were really low, let alone being a professional drummer. And he... beat the math, he beat the odds on surviving it, and also he's a professional drummer and he sounds great and he's awesome. He's just a great guy. And this is the kind of thing I'm talking about too. I mean, I know this isn't have everything to do with music. Well,
if he had played the numbers, he would have not played drums.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's
like more, his doctors were straight up like, no.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
And like he said, like, didn't they tell like his family to stop telling him that they'd buy him a drum set or yes. some shit? Like, that's literally like just numbers piling against you.
Yeah. He was like, you don't want to get
the
us-
math. You can't fucking play the drums. Yeah.
They were like, don't get his hopes up because he's probably not going to be able to do much of anything. He fought back.
If you think about that, it sounds bad that they were like that, but at the same time, they were playing the numbers. Like they were just like, stats say that there's just like no fucking way. So why would we give this kid a bunch of hope? You know what I mean? So it like makes sense. That's where numbers are just like, okay, it's logical, but like, what the fuck? Does that make it 100% reality?
No.
That's kind of, you know.
And, you know, we say that a lot with the entire music industry. If you want to go there and think about how hard it is just to make a living in this industry, it's really hard. And that's the reason that Jake and I do this podcast, you know, to keep people moving in the right direction. Also, our guidebook is the same way, The Motivated Musician for My Music Masterclass. If you were to look at like the statistics of people that play music and people that earn like a good living in the music business, I'm pretty sure that the percentage would be pretty low, you know, of, yeah. And yet when people get into the music business, they're often not put off by the fact that it's super hard. They think that they're going to be the exception, right? And they're going to go out and do it. And we often do, you know, the musicians that are successful do. Well, it's also
like those charts, though, all their, like when your parents are like, you should get a backup plan, you know, go mm-hmm. learn computer coding. They're basically just saying like, there's no fucking way that you're gonna walk out of music school and then go like, tour for the rest of your life and then have a studio session like career after that when you're at the prime age to start a family and buy a house. Like that's what that percentage is. But and yeah, that's super fucking low and very hard to do. But
doesn't
like,
mean you shouldn't try.
But it doesn't mean that you can't go out and get a career that like is music. That's the thing. That's why it's like a path. It's like you go and you do this stuff, then it branches you to this thing and it branches you to this thing. You know, so by the time like you're like, oh shit, I've been making money this whole time doing music or at least like music related things. So yeah, like that's a fucking music career. Maybe you're not in, you know, playing fucking drums for like Paul McCartney, but that's one fucking dude has that gig.
Yeah. And that's like, a good point. But also you can be that too. You know what I mean? Like you could be getting really good gigs and that you could be
just saying it's not all or nothing.
No, it's not
like
all or nothing.
When people tell you that it's hard to have a career in music, they're talking about like one thing. They're just like, oh, you're gonna be like popular and famous and play in stadiums. It's like, no, there's like a million other fucking ways.
I agree with that. I mean,
yeah,
but even that being said, I'm still just talking about the numbers game and why people usually aren't put off by that. Like they know that it's difficult to be in the industry, right? I don't know if everyone knows the whole truth of it, you know, I mean, how hard it is. I think some people are a little more rose-colored glasses going into it, yeah. And they should be prepared. But a lot of people, they see the numbers, they know that it's difficult, and they still say, yeah, well, I'm going to do this anyway and go for it. But they should apply that to other things as well, you know, like that's what I'm talking about here. Sometimes you just got to go with your gut and go with your heart. And like Jake said, it isn't all or nothing. So even if you go in wanting to be, you know, the backing a member of, you know, Sting's band and like that's your goal and you end up, you know, in a studio being a really good producer or doing this or doing music for commercials or whatever it is, it's still like that's where your career took you. So that's a different podcast kind of, but it's still very valid.
But like you're not, you didn't just give up and go to school and become an accountant.
Correct. You know? There's tons of
like,
stuff.
Like fuck, you might end up owning a fucking jazz club. Right. You know, shit, that's what happened to June. I think that's the dude's name.
Yeah.
Blue Whale just fucking closed.
Yeah, the Blue Whale just closed. Like, it's very sad in LA. So we're very sorry and sad to hear that. Yuck. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
My uncle still hasn't said no. I emailed him last night. I was like, will you please buy the Blue Whale? I will come work for you. He didn't say no. He never emailed me back.
Yeah, that's kind of worse.
No, I swear to God, I have him thinking. I guarantee you he's thinking about it.
Oh, God.
It's like, how can that happen? But that's the thing. That's, again, playing the numbers games. Like, right away, you're, like, running all these numbers and just, like, stats. And you're like, there's no way that can happen. It's like, well, why the fuck not? You know? Like, the person that ran Blue Whale, like, he didn't come from bazillions of dollars. Like, it's not like it was some...
No, he was a jazz
crazy
lover.
Fucking... He's a fucking... I think he's a singer.
Yeah, he was a, you know, a musician.
Yeah. And it's just like...
And he opened a club in a strip mall that makes no sense, and it worked.
Yeah.
It was completely outlandish, like where that club is. You
know? I love it.
I know, me too.
I was going there like weekly and shooting photos and shit.
No, I do too. It's just like when the first time I went there, I was like, this is such a weird place. And then when you hear his story, it was just the right deal for him, and he made it happen. And
it's fucking awesome.
It's great. Yeah. He definitely wasn't playing the numbers. And you know what? Yeah. I didn't play the numbers when I made my music masterclass with Jake. And we haven't played the numbers since. We keep doing things that feel right. And we're trying to do the same thing with this podcast, you know?
I wonder if like old ladies are going to listen to this podcast being like, oh, they're talking about playing the numbers. They're like doing the fucking lottery.
We have.
Like, we'll get ahead of playing the lottery.
Yeah, exactly. That's our demographic. So we should get the Kabbalah out and start doing some real numbers here.
Did you ever have that shit though, like an aunt or something like that, or a grandma that'd be like, will you go play the numbers for me?
Yeah, you know, with
and
that
they make you walk down the street like
with that exact voice. Yeah.
You're like 6 years old, you walk like 30 blocks to go fucking play them. Oh man,
those That's are the days.
Yeah, I used to just get lottery tickets. I would like walk down the street with my sister or something like that. My grandmother would just send us.
But I mean, if we're going to continue with this idea, when you're making music, like we said earlier, if you're always thinking mathematically when you're soloing, you'll never really hear anything. And some people hear shit that isn't harmonically accurate, quote unquote, you know, but it sounds awesome. Like, they're just hearing something that goes outside the conventional diatonic harmony, and it might not be something that is correct, you know, harmonically, quote unquote, again, but it works. And a lot of times it has to do with conviction. A lot of times it has to do with
tension and where you're going.
Tension and release. Sometimes it's something that's in passing and it resolves nicely. I mean, if you were to analyze Alan Holdsworth solos, a lot of that is craziness. You know what I mean? Like he knows how to, he's a master of resolution. You know, he is able to resolve these insane lines, and they're nuts. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They would have, jazz musicians have New Year's tension and resolutions.
Exactly.
That's what you're saying.
You know, to add to this, there are times when you are playing that you have to think of certain numbers, like, you know, the chord structure of the song, maybe the one chord, the three chord, things like that, numerical values. Maybe not. Maybe you're going to hear it all. But basically, when you're on stage, you want to not think that much about numbers in general. So, you know, that's a time that you want to kind of hear and think.
Keep track of how much you drink, though.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Keep track of that and how much you owe the bartender. But also, you know, when you're in the practice room, that's a time to, you know, put all your numbers to good use. There's one other thing that we can talk about here before we wrap up. And it's kind of like a gray area. When some people say that, you know, so-and-so had a lot of fire in their playing and then they went to school and then, or they learned a lot of theory and now they don't have that anymore or something like that. Do you know what I'm trying to get at, Jake?
That's definitely a thing, though.
It's a thing, but it doesn't have to be, right? So
no.
The thing there is that some people are thinking so much about, let's say they were learning jazz and they were more of a rock and a blues player. And when they play that style, they have all this fire and soul and energy. And when they play jazz, they feel more reserved and like they're thinking about making all the chord changes and all that. And that's true. But what happens there is, again, that person has to become more comfortable with the harmony and playing through chord changes and all that in the practice room so that they can get to that emotional place where they can just react like they were with one chord. That's a real problem, you know. But again,
which Julian Coryell has definitely solved.
Yes, he's a wonderful player.
I mean, this is fucking blow my mind. I'm like, why is he playing Jimi Hendrix solos with Coltrane language? Right. Aggressively fucking killing it, you know what I mean? Like, how the fuck does he do that? He's just comfortable.
Yeah, he's that's comfortable it. And you know, this is something that's going to take time in the practice room. That's the time to do get your numbers together and all that. But you know, when you're on stage, again, you got to let it go. And if you're trying to do something that is over your head a little bit and it's sounding too cold, keep it simple and keep your fire. I always think that's better to be identifiable, is to use simpler language and keep your creativity and your melodic sense. And then, you know, as you keep practicing this more, I don't know what the word is, cerebral jazz language or whatever you want to call it, like that'll start entering your playing naturally, but forcing it in because you're thinking about it and you're thinking about the numbers and all this theory is why people sound colder when they're doing that. I mean, I'd much rather hear someone play like a very, very simple, like diatonic-y jazz solo that they're hearing and that's super melodic, like almost more old-timey, you know, if that's a thing, then someone try to be Kurt Rosenwinkel or, you know, or Ben Maunder if they're not hearing it and really not feeling that language, because, you know, you have to be at a specific mental level, you know, to hear that.
Don't fake your accent.
Yeah, don't fake your accent.
Don't be like Alex's wife. Whatever the fuck is going on with that. Don't make it the only thing that you do is just fall on your face speaking a language you don't know yet.
But you know, that's basically it for this episode. We are a little tired, I guess. I'm a little tired, Jake. I mean, but from this major partying we did last night, you know, masks off, going nuts, dancing in the streets. Nope, none of that happened. But
it happened somewhere.
It did happen somewhere. But we just wanted to do this little episode on numbers and how they're not always the end all. And that's important to think about. You know, 2021's here. It's just another year. You got to keep your head down and do what you do. And don't get hung up on the numbers in your way, like the obstacles and things like that. Of course, you know, the number of money that you have in your bank account is a real thing. And the number of drinks you have is real in case you're driving. There's numbers of children you might have or you may not. You have probably have one or two significant others. No, depending on what religion you are. And, you know, there's a lot of tangible things here. But, you know, that was such a rant. We may not keep all that in. But yeah,
let's keep going. There's horsepower.
There's horsepower.
There's liters.
Should we get into the metric
although
system?
Again, dude, like fucking numbers. There you go. If you have like a 71, like 911, the thing has like fucking no horsepower.
But you're talking about a Porsche 911?
Yeah, it'll fucking blow the doors off of like some American muscle car back then.
It's like 40 horsepower.
It's not just about the numbers.
No.
It's like about what the fuck else you got going on in that thing, you know?
Well, but there's a lot, yeah. You know, yeah, exactly. Cars, a four-cylinder engine nowadays is different than a four-cylinder, like one of those little Mercedes diesels, you know, that had trouble. The ones that like can't, or no, were they BMWs?
Not the ones that like Saddam had.
No.
or the bulletproof Saddam ones?
I mean the ones that like hardly got up a hill, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They were fucking so heavy.
Yeah. So anyway, there's a lot of difference in all that. But, you know, with music and life, you just got to look ahead and, you know, keep your logic intact and also keep your heart intact and remember why you started playing, why you love music. And, you know, don't worry about all the numbers in terms of what people are going to say is possible and not possible this coming year, because it's going to be hard. We're not out of the woods yet. You got to keep fighting and, you know, just do everything you can to be happy, healthy, and prosperous. We'll do the same here.
Yeah. Also like and subscribe because we need fucking numbers.
Oh, yeah. We do need numbers. Can you please like and subscribe us?
We need them numbers.
Yeah. And if anyone wants to donate like $500,000 or something like that.
Yeah, remember, numbers don't matter. Whatever you want to write on that check.
Yeah, we'll take a half a million.
Add a few zeros.
Yeah. Or 5 million. Like, we could add another zero to that one.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You don't even need to,
yeah,
you know.
Just email me and bank. I'll give you my Bitcoin bank account address and we can do it under the
table.
This
is like our numbers cult. We just convince them that numbers don't matter and then we get money from them.
It's like the, oh man. What's that? Keith Raniere?
Nixium?
Yeah, Keith Raniere.
Yeah, fucking Nixium, dude.
That guy was
the New York Nixium.
A complete psycho. But anyway, on that note.
He still is.
Happy New Year.
He still totally is.
Don't join a cult.
He's just in jail being a psycho now.
I know.
Trying, you know, he's got no lady friends.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the message. Don't join a cult. And if anyone, what was it, Jake, you said? If anyone says that they're a concert pianist and plays Midnight Sonata.
That's right. In that documentary, they're like, Keith, and also like he's a concert pianist. And then they show him playing Moonlight Sonata. Yeah. Just like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. No, that's like what every 8-year-old learns, like their first day of piano lessons.
It's like, all right, where's the Chopin and Rachmaninoff? Yeah. Let's get to this.
And he was just not even fucking... like Beethoven would have fucking pissed on his face. He would have been like, what are you doing to my song, dude?
He also said he was a judo master and like something else. And like the smart, and he had an IQ of 508 or something, like on the charts. Anyway, no cults, number thing. Happy New Year.
See ya.
Questions, comments, episode ideas, hate mail, you can get in touch with us by contact form, email, or voicemail, all of which are available at our website, theperformerspathway.com. If one of your questions or topics makes it into the podcast, with your consent, of course, you'll receive a shiny new $10 gift card for use at mymusicmasterclass.com. That's our sister website, which contains over 600 original educational videos from your musical heroes. So, look forward to hearing from you.